Acts chapter 13, chapter 19, Acts chapter 19 and verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Amen. May God bless this reading from his word. We're still in Ephesus with the Apostle Paul as he has been making this third missionary journey. He stayed some time in Ephesus, we are told. And here we encounter in Ephesus a group of Jews who are called vagabond Jews. And they seem to have been a group of religious professionals. They appear to have been a group that travelled around a little bit like a travelling circus, perhaps, or a crusade meeting that you used to have when the wagons would roll into town and a big tent would be set up. And this is the kind of people that these Jews were. They provided religious services to the whole area and moved around from place to place in order to perhaps exorcise evil spirits or make some incantations or tell your fortune or curse your neighbor or heal your children. And these were religious professionals. They're called vagabond Jews, and they would know the language of the Hebrews. They would know the Old Testament scriptures. They would be able to call upon God. They knew the religious language and the religious jargon. And I thought, as I was reflecting on it, that they may actually have been a little bit like the TV evangelists of today. Always looking for the next intriguing thing. Always looking for something else to be able to sell to their audience. And here in Ephesus, we meet these seven sons of Sceva. And I imagine that they put on quite a show. I imagine that seven brothers like this, coming from town to town, had honed their show to such a degree that they could create quite an exhibition when they rolled into town. And here they are in Ephesus. They saw, when they came into town, the way in which Paul was able to effect healings and changes in the lives of the people that he performed his miracles upon, or the miracles of God upon. We saw in verse 11, if you remember last week, that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And I'm sure that these vagabond Jews observed, witnessed, saw those special miracles and thought, well, if Paul can do it, we can do it. and they decided that they would also pull in the language of Paul, the approach of Paul, the name of Paul, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would incorporate that in their show. So much of the religious charlatan activity that we see around about us is mere entertainment, a show put on for gullible people who imagine that they need a religious dimension to their life and sort it in the least offensive and troublesome way possible. And it's no more than entertaining to the flesh. Here these seven sons of Sceva, they try to cast out an evil spirit from a man using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and Paul's name. And I imagine that they made a huge spectacle of that. We're told that it was done in a house. We're not told how big the house was. I suspect that there was somebody at the door of that house taking a fee for everybody that came into the house to witness what was going to happen. But the spirit that was in this man didn't realize that he had to be part of the show. And what we discover is that that evil spirit says to these sons of Sceva, as they try to exorcise the evil spirit, I know who Jesus is, and I know who Paul is. I know who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, and I'm subject to him. I know who Paul is. He is the servant of the Son of God, by whom Christ works. But I don't know you. I'm not subject to you. Rather, you are subject to me. And the evil spirit bashed those seven brothers, thumped them, and beat them all up, tore their clothes from them, and sent them running naked out into the street. So much for the show in Ephesus that day. You'll remember with me, perhaps, as we've been reading through the early chapters of the book of Mark, that the Lord Jesus Christ explicitly and purposefully stopped evil spirits from testifying of him while he was exercising his own ministry here upon earth. But now these evil spirits are afraid of Christ, and the fame and fear of Paul arose in Ephesus amongst the Jews and the Greeks, who are probably people that have converted to Judaism, although they were Gentile individuals and probably Greek speakers. That fame and fear that rose amongst the people did so, it seems, in equal amounts. And God's Spirit caused many to seek out Paul and to confess their sins before him. They realized that there was something very significant in this spiritual activity, and they desired to confess their sins to Paul before God, or to God before Paul. If we lived in Ephesus, we would call this time a spiritual awakening. And we find that a whole load of superstitious people, because Ephesus was a superstitious town, brought their books on magic, their charms, their charts of the heavens and the skies and their astrology, and they burned them before all the people in the city, so that those charms and incantations would no longer be a snare to them in the future. There was high value in those materials. We're told how much it was in silver, and just because that's the kind of mind that I have, I wanted to convert that to today's dollars so that you would know how much these books cost. Do you know it was nearly $500,000? Was burned that day. And that's if these were talents of silver and not gold. So much valuable stuff was burned in order that these people might not be tempted to go back to it. Well, here's the lesson that I want us to take from that little point. You know what? We need to be careful about what we possess. And we need to be careful about what we look at. And we need to be careful about what we think about. And we need to be careful about how we spend our time. Because these people had put a lot of time and effort and resources into these pastimes. And some of them may have been professional witches and wizards. But some of them would be doing it just to know what their future might hold. What their astrological signs might be saying to them. And what they did when they confessed their sins was they got rid of all that stuff because they knew that it would be a snare to them. That commends those people to me. That makes me realize that they were serious about this testimony and profession that they were making. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for people to consciously turn their backs upon the old life that they once lived when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God, the gospel grew in influence. It changed the hearts of men and women in Ephesus. And they proved by their actions that their conversion was genuine and lasting. People can say lots of things. People can put on a show. People can have a religious outworking of their activities, but really in their minds and in their hearts, there hasn't been a change. It's just suitable for that particular time and perhaps that particular company for them to act in a particular way. Let us not be hypocrites. Let us be men and women, boys and girls who know the truth and who live the truth. When a person is truly saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, change comes into their life. People can claim to be Christians, but there has to be, I don't know whether you have it over here or not, in the United Kingdom sometimes they have signs that they put outside of establishments that have changed ownership, and it says, under new management. That's what a Christian is. Under new management. And when a Christian is under new management, there is evidence in that life that the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne. Amen. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to us.